This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 195.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with live stream Katia. And we're talking about how to build raving fans through live streaming and why you need to do it. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about an event that I've got coming up for you in November. So this is my media planning masterclass. It's called Your Year in PR and it's on November the 23rd and 24th in London. So that's 2017 if you're listening in the future. Now, the idea of the event is to get you in a room for the day with other entrepreneurs and other business owners so you can plot out your content for the coming year. So we'll look at how to plan out your content for your social media, for your email marketing, for your blog or vlog if you have one, and also how to generate ideas that you might be able to pitch into the traditional media. So by that I mean newspapers, magazines and radio and TV. And based on feedback that we had last year, I've also added a day two this time round. Now, it's not compulsory, but some of the feedback that we got last year was that it was a great day. The planning bit was great, but some people would also love some help with creating shareable content. So we've added in a day two. You can come along and get support with creating really high quality shareable content. So you'll learn how to create great content for your blog or vlog if you have one, how to write great marketing emails, how to write great copy for Facebook ads, great email subject headers or great titles for your blog posts. So we'll really dig into what makes great content and you'll get lots of practice creating it. So if this sounds like something that might be a good fit for you, then I'll put a link in the show notes. But if you've got any questions, then don't hesitate to drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. I know it's a big decision to make to come along to a live event, especially if you haven't been to one of my events before. And actually, I'll also put a link in the show notes to the video for my last live event, Soulful PR Live, which was in July. And that will help you get a bit of an idea of the kind of people who come along and how the day might look. But do drop us a line if you've got any questions. Certainly not in my interest to have people there that the event isn't a good fit for. I want you to have a great day. I want you to get loads out of it, or 2 days, in fact, if you decide to come for both days. So I will tell you straight if I don't think that it's a good fit for you or that maybe now isn't the right time. So with that, I think it's on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is live stream Katia. Now, Katia is one of the world's, I think, leading experts on live streaming. She's the founder of Peri10K, which is a membership community for entrepreneurs and live streamers. And she's going to be talking to us about how to build raving fans through live streaming and why you need to. Now, it's her second time on the show. She was last on the show back in episode 103, I think it was. But she is just such a font of knowledge that I thought we had to have Katia back on the show. So welcome.
I'm so glad to be back. And I just listened to some of my interview today that we did ages ago. And I knew, oh, we'd definitely do a bit of an update.
Well, things are changing so fast, aren't they, in live streaming? That it almost feels like some of the things we talked about are probably a bit out of date, aren't they?
Absolutely. Facebook has evolved. Some of the platforms that we talked about on the previous one have also announced that they're closing. So
yeah, so lots to catch up on. So can you give us a little bit of a history, I guess, a brief history into Katia?
Of course. So first of all, I came in the UK a couple of years ago from Bulgaria because I really wanted to build a career for myself and do something exciting. And for the last 10 years, really, I have by randomness and by choice, have been involved in some kind of sales and marketing jobs ever since I was 16. You know, I've worked as a Avon sales rep. I've worked as a tennis coach and selling my own services. I've worked as a brand manager for some of the biggest companies like HP, Dell, Superdry. So I feel like I've only recently realized this, but I've always had the passion for sales and marketing. And funny enough, I've built the experience for a long, long time. But it wasn't until 2015 when I was working in banking at the time that you remember this, I came across Periscope. And I was so fascinated by the idea of live streaming that I became completely obsessed with it. what happened was I just really dedicated myself to studying the craft of live video, to study the craft of building a following, and to study the craft of keeping people's attention on a video. The same way you get to watch Games of Thrones and be so mesmerized by the episodes that you just cannot wait to see what happens next. So I did really put the time and effort to do so. And I built a community that you mentioned. I built Perry 10K as a community to help me and others grow together. I wasn't at the time guru. I wasn't teaching anything. I was just literally a community manager. And it just happened that Perry 10K as a community of live streamers grew so quickly that I decided to monetize it, put a membership fee on it. And then literally within 2 months, 2 to 3 months, I was able to quit my job because the membership fees were pretty much matching my banking income. And it was a no-brainer decision for me to leave the banking and to do live streaming full time. And that's how everything started. I'm sure we talked in a lot more details about this in the previous podcast. So definitely check episode 103. But what happened after that is I started being approached by other people about, well, wait a minute, you just built this community so quickly with live streaming. How did you do that? And I started teaching people for free. Like, I literally started coaching people for free. And I remember having messages of people saying, Katya, I just implemented what you did and I just sold a $10,000 client. And I started getting all these success results from people that one day I just decided, you know what? I have to own this brand because people are coming to me and they're calling me the live stream queen. It's time to own that myself. So last year, I rebranded myself as Live Stream Katya. And that's when I really took the role of I'm going to be the live stream queen really seriously. So I've been building the business for the last year. It has literally exploded, especially in the last 12 months, particularly. And I just moved to Malta as well. You don't know this, Janet, but my boyfriend also was able to quit his job. So we both moved here.
Wow.
Finally. And now he's literally just doing some of his things here, some of his things around. He does a lot of match betting and things like that, like, you know, online geeky stuff. I don't really get it. But so far, I have built over the last 2 years, the community has grown to around 60,000 people. I have nearly 1,000 students who have gone through my paid courses and programs. And literally the impact that building the following has made such a tremendous impact on me as a business that I am just so passionate about teaching this now. And it's just been incredible growth. I have to tell you, last time we spoke, I was still just one-man band running the show. I now have 5 people that work with me, which is incredible. And I cannot wait to share some of the advanced stuff that I feel like have changed since last time we spoke.
Wow. Okay. So we said we were going to talk in this episode about how to build raving fans. Can you start by talking about why we need raving fans and how many we need really to make an impact online?
Of course. So here's the very simple principle of business. And that is you create a product, you find enough people who have a problem that your product solves, and then you sell it to them. Like, that is literally what business is. That's what Janet does. That's what I do. That's what you who is listening to this does. The key is that, number one, we have to have a good product. But number two, we have to sell that product, and we need to have enough people to sell that product or service to. So the idea of the raving fans isn't about, oh, having 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people gushing over you. The idea of having a raving fans isn't about a vanity thing. The idea is that you will create content that accumulates a lot of people who believe in what you do so much that, one, they want to hire you, and two, they want to spread the word of your business. That's how much they believe in you. So the reason you want to build that following, especially online, is because if you don't have that following, you are really going to struggle with word of mouth online. Word of mouth, as you know, is only scalable to a certain point, and then you hit a plateau and that's it. It is not scalable. While on the internet, there's 3 billion people on the internet. So you can imagine that the opportunity to build 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 and above followers of people who care about your message, that's where the power becomes. Because let's be honest, let me tell you this. When I had 6,000 followers, I was making a certain amount of money every month. And then what happened was I got kind of lucky. Well, I call this consistency luck. When you're so consistent, one day you just get lucky. And I got lucky that my account got featured because I was so consistent. My account on Periscope got featured. And I went from 6,000 to over 20,000 in literally 2-3 weeks. I swear to goodness, the moment that happened, my income also increased with the exact same speed. I went from 6,000. That's like I tripled my income and I tripled my following and my income literally tripled. So the reason you want to build raving fans is because it does increase your business if you do it right. It does increase your business if you do it right.
I love what you said there about consistent luck or consistency luck, you said, because that's something that it's something I really believe in as well. I think it's that quote from that golf player that my dad always says, it's Gary Player, you know, the harder I practice, the better I get. And I think it is just that, isn't it? I think when I say to people in my Soulful PR studio that actually to build an audience online, you have to give it a year, you have to give it some time. You know, that's not to say that you might not get lucky before that, you might not have success before that, but actually you have to turn up consistently every single day, even if it feels like nobody's listening. You have to just kind of keep putting things out there. You have to keep trying things. And it is just that consistency. And if you keep doing it and you keep learning from your mistakes and you keep getting better and better, you will get there. And so interesting to hear you say that, you know, consistency, like it really is about just kind of showing up and doing the work, isn't it?
I have people who ask me all the time, so what did you do differently to go from 6,000 to 20,000? I said to them, I swear I literally did not do anything different. I did the exact same type of content, the exact same time, you know, the exact same frequency. I didn't do anything. I literally didn't do anything different. But the algorithm just found me and I just got lucky. But the key is that if I didn't keep consistent, if I stopped live streaming, then I wouldn't have been found out. Therefore, I wouldn't have tripled my following literally overnight. So that's why, as much as I'm not the biggest fan of Grant Cardone, one of the things he always says is, yeah, I am an overnight success. I've done like 100 million free speaking gigs and all of this and all this. If you call that overnight success, go for it. You know, so yes, I believe in consistently luck so much. And I also love that you tell your community that it does take a year. It does take time. It took me a year to get from 0 to 6,000. And then I told you it took me 2 weeks to go from 6,020, which is nuts. I think that's nuts.
That's the hardest period, isn't it? When you're going through that time and you're trying things and you're not getting engagement. And I think it's always probably the most dangerous time as well. It's the time when you're in danger of giving up because you're, you know, but I think like, you know, when you're first starting out, just getting like one or two more followers or a few more likes than you got yesterday or a few more comments that you got yesterday. For me, it's just about building and building and building. If you keep at it, you will get there. And like you say, somebody will discover you because you just kept turning up and you just kept being there, basically.
Someone will discover you. You know what happened? Do you know Caleb Maddox? You know, the young kid who he's got like probably like 500,000 followers or something. You know how he got famous?
No.
He was on Periscope. Oh. I'll tell you how he got famous. He was on Periscope. And then one day, Grant Cardone found his broadcast completely random. And he was like, you know, I'm Caleb Maddox and I wrote this book called The Keys to Success for Kids. And then Grant Cardone was just so impressed by his Periscope. He invited him to come over to Miami and then he started helping him promote the book. And then he started introducing him to Gary Vee, Les Brown, and all these different people. And Caleb became famous literally overnight, not one, because of the hard work he put, but two, also because it's super amazing when you have a big mentor to introduce you to his whole network, right? Mm-hmm. So one broadcast changed everything for Caleb. And I say this all the time to people, guys, one broadcast being seen by the right person can change everything for you.
But in order to get seen by the right person, you've got to be brave enough to get out there and do it and keep doing it, haven't you? So I believe the same thing, actually. And I'm noticing in my business that as my business is growing, that people start to do your marketing for you. So if you've got like a core of people who like what you do, so I would notice that people will share pictures of my book.
Yes.
And themselves reading their book on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. They'll do the same with my media diary. I've just started my online PR course, Soulful PR for Starters, this week. People are tweeting pictures of their workbook or whatever. So when you get to a certain stage, when you've put that work in and you've put that hard graft in, then people start to do your marketing for you. But it does kind of take time. So for people who are listening now and saying, well, actually, I'm totally at the start of that journey. I can't imagine a time when people are tweeting pictures of my products or my course books or whatever. And I'm not saying that I'm like any kind of big shot or anything. I've got like a long way to go. But that's the kind of sign you're starting to get raving fans, I think, isn't it? When people start to kind of tweet you with pictures of themselves with your products or services or whatever. So for somebody starting out, what would your advice be? I think you've got a step-by-step process, haven't you, of getting from naught to thousand?
Yes. So, well, first of all, I want to tell you that you are a big shot because not only the content you produce is amazing, but like you said, you do have a lot of people who do share your work. And that is because you are a big shot, Janet.
I don't feel like a big shot.
Well, to me, you are anyway. But secondly, what I always say to people is don't worry about building hundreds, thousands, millions. Worry about building the first core 1,000 people who will help you spread the message. And yes, I do have a little formula for this that it's nothing crazy and nothing, oh my God, out of ordinary, but it's actually going to make sense for you. So remember this, your first 1,000 are the most important. If you get this wrong, you will not like your business. If you get, let's say you get 1,000 people, but they are not your ideal clients, they're not the people who believe in what you do, you're going to resent your business because your business then wouldn't be fulfilling your mission. So it's really important that the first 1,000 are not only the right people, but you also do get the first 1,000. And I want to make sure that everybody understands this. So the first 1,000 have to be super aligned with what you do. And my formula for this is I call it the ACE formula. And it starts with A, which stands for attract. Well, A starts for attract, convert, expand. And it starts with the attract. And the attract part is really key because a lot of people think that, oh, I just want to attract people who are interested in, let's say, PR. Oh, I just want to, you know, I just want to attract people that want to be featured in The Guardian. Or, oh, I just want to attract people who are looking to get married and need help with dating. And that is a big mistake because attracting people based on interest does not make somebody a raving fan of yours. What makes somebody a raving fan of yours is when, one, they're interested in whatever you're offering, but two, they value the same stuff that you do as a human being. So, for example, maybe you are a relationship coach and you really value femininity and you love to work with women who are maybe feeling very masculine and they want to unleash their femininity, right? And that's how they want to find a husband, by unleashing that femininity. Guess what? If you attract women who have no interest whatsoever in exploring that side of them, these are not going to be your ideal clients who will spread your work. In fact, they're probably going to be like, oh, that's this relationship coach that always talks rubbish about woo-woo femininity stuff. That's exactly how they will feel because they don't carry the same values as you do. So your job is, number one, to create a movement of people based on your values, not based on the outcomes or your expertise. So, for example, for you, Janet, I do feel like you have built a really nice movement, and whether intentional or not, I feel like you have built a really nice movement of women who are not afraid to share their message with the mass media. I feel like you have really built a special community of women who are fearless and who aren't afraid to put themselves out there. And that is a way of thinking. That's not a, oh, this is just a PR group. No, you're not just building a PR group. So the first thing is, do you have a movement that other people want to be associated with? For me, my movement is built around the power of collaboration. And I am probably the biggest believer that you cannot do anything in business by yourself. And I amplify that message in everything I do. JV partners, or whether it's JV partners, whether it's promoting my members, whether it's sharing other people's communities. This is how my business is built. And I believe in the power of people coming together with live streaming and making a massive difference. And that's why I teach live streaming, because it's a vehicle for me to make the world more collaborative. I don't teach live streaming because live streaming is fancy and profitable. I teach it because it's a vehicle for what I'm trying to make a difference in the world.
Yes.
So can you see how different that is?
It is different. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about the whole soulful PR thing. And I'm thinking, because actually I've had some really interesting conversations with people about what they think of my brand and what I do. And for me, it all started because I was fed up as a journalist of seeing these like really awful press releases coming through and people people paying PR companies to do this like dreadful advice and this dreadful stuff. And I was just thinking, actually, you can do this yourself. And actually, you don't need any special qualifications. You don't need to hire anybody in. You can actually, this is just common sense. This is just about understanding people. It's just about good communications. It's just about listening. It's just about relationships. And it's interesting, actually, because it's called Soulful PR. I've been having this conversation recently with a few people that I think sometimes it attracts people who are woo-woo and they like the kind of heart-centered entrepreneur thing. Actually, what kicked this off is that I said, and if you're listening and you're a heart-centered entrepreneur, like, I'm going to apologize in advance, but it's not a thing that it's not something that kind of resonates with me. It's not something that I would say about myself. I'm not woo-woo. I've been to see Gabrielle Bernstein and I'm like, I'm really interested in that kind of thing. But I, at the same time, there's a kind of like hard edge to me, which is just like, actually, you've just got to get on and do the work. And actually, one of my clients said this on my Twitter chat on Sunday evening. She said, like, you're very friendly, but you're also very fierce. And I think there's a point where I just say, actually, come on, like, you know, we can sit around and talk about this, but actually, you just have to go out and do this. And it's just about kind of good communications and listening and building relationships with people. But somebody said to me that they felt that my name of my brand, Soulful PR, was kind of out of sync because I said I didn't like the term heart-centered entrepreneur. I think you actually got involved in that conversation, Katia, on Facebook.
I may have.
And I was really, really surprised because I was kind of like, oh, I thought that kind of came across that, you know, it's not that I'm not interested in that kind of thing, but actually I think I'm not a kind of, I'm very sort of practical. I'm like, let's just get on, let's just do this, whatever. And it's really, really interesting. And that feels like that's my movement. My movement is also about kind of like, let's just kind of get this done. Let's stop like fussing around. You know, selling doesn't, you know, you don't have to feel icky about selling. You don't have to apologize for the fact that you've got products and services to sell or that you've got a story to sell. You're actually offering something to the world. And so actually, although it's called Soulful PR, there's almost a kind of like a harder edge to it. But I think it's only really when you kind of like, you know, I've been reflecting on that. And that's why you attract the people you do and repel others, I guess, isn't it?
It's true. And with your brand, I have to say, and for everybody listening, I'm sure you will agree with me. If you do, please tweet me. But truly, Jen, what you portray to your community as a leader is you are a decisive, strong woman that takes no BS from people who want to give you BS. And what, like, one of my favorite episodes of yours is where you talked about freebie seekers and how to deal with freebie seekers and how you handle them with such grace, but at the same time with such decisiveness. That in itself gives your community permission to do the same and to not feel like, oh, I have to do stuff for free or I have to give my time to people that don't pay. And I think that's a big part of your personal brand and my experience with you. And when it comes to the Soulful PR brand, you can always spin it. And this is a good lesson to everybody listening. Your name can always be spinned into something. You can spin it to say that when I mean Soulful PR, I don't mean heart-centered PR. What I mean is that you work so hard and so consistent at what you do that your soul is just fulfilled and you're fulfilled with what you do. Can you see how we're spinning this and making it? Like, that is how you just feel like your soul is alive because, and even though you're working so hard and you're putting in the work and you're doing the uncomfortable, your soul is still ignited. And I think that that's how you could spin it so that to make sure that people don't think of you as a heart-centered guru.
And it's interesting because, this is a real conversation that we had. And to say, if you're listening and you are a heart-centered entrepreneur, like, we love you too. It's like, it's not, it's just that, you know, personally, that's not something that resonates with me. It's not something that, you know, that I kind of would talk about or whatever. It doesn't mean that wouldn't, you know, that people who are heart-centered entrepreneurs, I wouldn't want to work with them or something like that. It's just not something I would talk about in my marketing. So I was really surprised when somebody said to me, well, if you don't like that term, then you're obviously not very soulful. And I was kind of like, well, I can call myself what I like. If I want to call my business, if I want to call my business soulful, you know, just because I want to call it soulful, then, you know, so it's really, really interesting. But I feel like really what I'm creating, although it's called Soulful PR, is a movement about kind of getting things done and actually, rather than just kind of going out there and just blasting people with press releases and pictures, just listening. Well, what are people looking for? What are journalists talking about? What are they interested in? For me, it's more about relationship building, because I think that's probably the smartest thing that you can do as a business owner, is to build relationships with people and listen to people and hear what they're saying to you. That's really what it's all about to me. And not apologizing for selling your work, and not apologizing for not doing freebies, that kind of thing. This is what I'm all about. So if you've ever wondered what it all means, then that's really it. And yeah, so anyway, we ought to get on, but it's just quite interesting, isn't it? And if you're listening, like, I'm hoping that you're thinking now, well, what is my movement? What am I trying to create here? Because I don't think we're all selling products and services. I think whatever we're doing, we are trying to change the world or change something, aren't we? I think.
And that's my question to everybody listening. What change in the world are you trying to bring? Or what is something in the world that you're so unhappy with that you just want to stop or start? Like for me, I'm literally sick of people competing to put other people down. Like, healthy competition is okay, but trying to ruin other people's careers to lift yourself, I'm like honestly so disgusted by this. And that's what led me to create Perry 10K. I saw the people on Periscope, some of the big people on Periscope that were trying to crush each other. And it was just so not aligned with me. Oh my God, I just used the word aligned. Oh, it felt good. I honestly, that's what sparked my idea of what I want to bring to the world. So I want everybody to think, what are you trying to change in the world? What are you trying to change? And for you, Janet, it's you want to get people to stop screaming and to start whispering and attracting the people, you know, the press journalists, and to actually, you know, to actually be able to spread their message. Mm. It's that simple. So that's the first step. You have to know exactly what your movement is. And once you know what your movement is, you have to know the exact type of person that will fit into that movement. And when I mean fit, I mean they're not going to be a rebel or a troll. They're going to be someone who they literally feel like you're reading their minds, like, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Oh my God, she's speaking to me so much, or he's speaking to me so much. That's what it is by finding the right people. Because remember, we're still at the attract part of the formula. So you build the movement by, first of all, being clear on what the movement is, who the movement is for. And then your job is to go out there and use live streaming and video to attract the right people for that movement. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is the first part of a formula. And you can use any type of content for this, by the way. If you're not into video, you can write. You can use a blog to attract people. But I have to tell you, literally 74% of the content right now, 70% of the traffic on the internet comes from video. So unless you have a massive blog that gets like 100 million views a year, or you have an amazing podcast that is already getting good traction and you're not using video, it's like, oh, I feel sad for your business in 5 years' time. And I say this with the utmost respect to anyone that doesn't feel like video is right for them. But it truly is one of these things that kind of like back in the days when people were obsessed with those normal cameras, the Polaroid cameras. And it's like, sorry, the Polaroid camera years are gone. You need a digital camera if you want to be a photographer. And no matter how nostalgic you are, things have changed and you have to adapt, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what is the first thing, really. It's to use live video content to attract them. And that's what I've done. That's literally what I've done. I look at the formula and I know that I reverse engineered it from what I and my clients have done based on the advice I gave them. And it's really about creating the right live video content to attract those people.
Okay. And how do you know what's the right live content for your audience?
So the right content usually is very type of content. It's never just one thing. So for example, think about this, Janet. I mean, if you're a listener of Janet, if all Janet did was how to do this and how to do that and how to do this, wouldn't you get bored? Like, wouldn't you get bored of listening on everything is how to, how to, how to, and there's never any personal stories in there and there's never any real examples. It's just, oh, here's a list of 10 things you have to do, or here's a list of 10 influencers you have to follow. Like, the key is to have a variety. And I have a few different types of content that I teach. I'll share a few of them. So one of the types of content that I teach is the what I call the wow, I didn't know this content. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what it's called. Wow, I didn't know this. And you're literally creating a content that you're sharing something that most people didn't know about. So I could right now I can give you a wow, I didn't know this example, and I'm going to blow you away. Are you ready?
Go on, blow me away.
99% of people don't know that right now you can do split screen interviews natively with your Facebook app. They think they need to have a third party software or anything. Actually, Facebook Live split screen interview is available to pretty much everybody. And all you have to do is next time you go live on Facebook, whether it's your business page, personal page, whatever your phone is, click on somebody's comment and you will see the option to invite them on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. So you can actually have a co-host on your stream just by using the Facebook app. No need for anything external, just your Facebook app.
Wow. I didn't know that, actually.
You didn't know that?
I have been wondering about it, actually, because I'm doing a Facebook Live every Tuesday. I have been wondering about it because I was thinking, actually, it'd probably get a bit boring if it's just me every week. So maybe I could bring some guests in. So I had thought, I must look that up and find out if that's happening. Because I'd heard it was happening, but I didn't know whether it had. So anyway, you've just wowed us. You just wowed me. Anyway.
I just showed you what, wow, I didn't know this content looks like. When you tell somebody something, they have no idea. And the reason these types of content works is because they instantly think of you as authority because you know something they didn't. You know something they didn't, which immediately makes them think, oh, wow, anytime I need to learn something about this area, this person will always be ahead on the knowledge. So you want to share, wow, I didn't know this. You know, I'm sure, Janet, you may have a lot of these for PR as well, that you may not realize that they are, wow, I didn't know this.
Yeah, content. I was just thinking that actually, because I was thinking, actually, I do quite a lot of how-to content, but actually, a lot of my how-to content comes from things that I think are perfectly commonplace because I've been doing them for years and years. But actually, for other people, a good example is my 10-day PR challenge that lots of you listening will have done. And I get loads of emails from people saying, basically, wow, I didn't realise that it was so easy. There's this hashtag on Twitter that you can use called journo requests and you can connect with journalists. And this has just happened for me. And this is really amazing. And for me, that feels like the most, it's just so second nature because I've known about it for years. But to other people, it's a real revelation. And I hear that in my inbox pretty much every day from people who are using it for the first time.
Yep. And that is a wow, I didn't know this type of content. And that is a big type that I encourage people to use. And then the other one that is, I would say it's probably my favorite one is, and I call this the clown content, which is where you create either parodies or jokes or funny videos around what's happening in your industry. And usually these are such shareable pieces of content, if done well, that they can build your following the fastest. I don't know, you remember this. I did this video, The Confessions of a Heart-Centered Gurupreneur.
Yes, I remember it. We can link to it in the show notes. Yeah.
It is 130,000 views and growing. It is going up still. And I have probably had so many people from that video who saw it and they commented and said, I'm an instant fan of you and I'm going to watch everything from you from now on. Just from that one video, because it's so powerful. Humor spreads so well.
I have to say, I struggle a little bit with that, though. Not that I had this conversation before. I feel like I've got deja vu, but I had this conversation with Dan Knowlton, who I think you know as well. So I interviewed him a couple of episodes ago, and he was talking about, you know, we were talking about shareable content. And I was saying, it's not that I'm not funny, but I struggle a little bit with the idea of making funny videos. And I'm sure I'm mentioning this because I'm sure there's people probably listening actually who probably feel the same. That was episode 187 with Daniel Knowlton about creating shareable content. What are your thoughts if you're somebody that feels a little bit kind of like, oh, I'm not sure about creating funny content?
Well, maybe you can make a funny video about how unfunny you are. I mean, seriously, what is another quality that you're quite good at? Are you quite good at sarcasm? Are you quite good at bad jokes? Bad jokes. If you do bad jokes well in videos, that is funny. Or it can even be that, you know, an example of a really funny video for you that I think you could easily do would be you can do if press releases were real life, mm-hmm. right? You can do examples of like skits, how people would like skit videos of, it doesn't even have to be you there in the video. It can be somebody else that goes and knocks on somebody's door and says, Hello, please feature me. And like someone screaming and then they're just shutting the door on them.
Yeah.
And then,
well, I often use the dating analogy for pitching.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I often say. It's a bit like kind of going up into a bar and asking, maybe I could do this actually, probably. I go up into a bar and asking every person out in the bar and then wondering why everyone says no because they've just seen you go up to everybody else. I could probably do that. I reckon I could do that video.
Exactly. If you ever want to try the funny clown content, come to me and we will do something.
Amazing. Yeah. No, I think I could do that video, although we've just paused it now, haven't we? But no, it's something I often say. And funny enough, I was talking about, we were talking about this the other day with a friend of mine, how, because being a journalist, I've always got this thing where I've had license to ask people whatever I want, and sometimes I have to really censor myself because I just kind of want to ask people if they're married or if they've got a partner. I did this to a friend of ours recently and just kind of blurted it out, and it basically sounded like I was chatting him up kind of thing. But I could probably turn that, I could probably turn it into some kind of sketch actually about going up into a bar. I could probably record myself in a bar doing exactly what I did with that guy, which was really embarrassing. But yeah, no, I like the idea. I think I could do that, so that's good. Brilliant.
And you know, the key for that is to just to make sure that the actual video content is some of the things that you may say on a Facebook post may not sound funny on a Facebook post, but if it's played on a video, it's hilarious. Like I did this scene in my video, which was, you know how there's people online who say stuff like, if you don't have a coach yourself, like, how do you expect other people to hire you? Like, that's one of the statements that a lot of coaches use to sell you on their programs. Hey, you must have a coach or otherwise no one's going to take you seriously. So hire me, right? So when you say that, it's not a funny statement. But then what we did is we played an actual scene of me being an interviewer and somebody else being the coach. And I just go to them and like as if I'm interviewing them for a job. And I just lean in and say, do you have a coach? And they go, no. And I say, get out. And when you think about it, the actual idea of when you say the phrase, it's not funny, but if you play it in a video, it just looks hilarious. And I know I can't really explain to you what I just said is funny. I think you should just watch the video
in the show notes.
So, yes. So that's about a track. I think those two, if you can do one of those two or both and vary your type of content on a regular basis, just remember the one principle that I use for every content. No matter what you create, people have to love it or hate it because there's no money in the middle.
I'm really glad that you said that, actually, because I had a really interesting conversation on my Facebook page the other day, and I was talking about the email subject headers that I use. And I shared an email that somebody sent me where they were listing my recent email subject headers and saying how they didn't like them and how they didn't want to buy off me because of these. And one of them is a headline that I use called, Am I a Loser? Or Are You a Loser?
Yes,
or something like that.
Are you a loser?
And some people were saying that they didn't think that that was very much like me, my personality, it put them off me and things like that. And I was just sort of saying, well, that's marketing. You know, I know from my experience that to get people to open emails, because we're all busy and there's a lot of competition, that you have to have a good headline. And when you open the email, actually that particular email was just about, you know, have you ever wanted to go to an event and basically missed the boat and you've become a loser?
Yes.
So the email's actually a perfectly kind of nice email about what happens sometimes when we procrastinate and we don't do something and we miss out on the opportunity. But people were really, people were really saying, well, you know, it really put me off you. And I was saying, well, actually, I said to one lady, look, you know, I don't mean this to sound awful, but it's probably a good thing that that put you off me. Because if you came to one of my events, I would probably try to push you to be a little bit more bold in your marketing. Mm-hmm. And I might try and push you a little bit further than you want to go. And you might be unhappy with me. And it's probably better that you know that now. And you know that that's my style. And you know that that's how I work. And mm-hmm. So I think it's just so true that you say that there's no money in the middle. You can't be vanilla, can you?
I've seen that from experience. I didn't believe it until I saw it. And you're better off to annoy some people than to have people that just feel indifferent, which is why it's so important that while I didn't know content is usually content that makes people love you. And then the clown content can be both ways. If the jokes are, the jokes can offend people very often. And I never take people who get offended by comedy too seriously because it's like, dude, it's comedy. Like, shut up. And like, you know, go get some butthurt cream to massage yourself with. Seriously, it's comedy. But it's good when they do get annoyed. It's good when they do because they comment and they spread the word. And then more people come in and they comment on their post saying, you're being ridiculous. This is just comedy. And then the conversation brings you more viewers, more followers, which is why I never really delete troll comments on my Facebooks. Even the disgusting ones, even when I have disgusting comments, I would literally just comment and say, oh, be careful what you post on the internet because someone may take a screenshot and blast you out or something like that. I don't even delete those nasty comments, to be honest. So,
Okay, that's interesting.
Because it creates conversation. So that's on attract. That's on attract of the ACE formula.
Okay.
And then what happens after, once you've attracted them, and a lot of people get this wrong. I know so many people who have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers who still have a job because hundreds of thousands of followers don't pay them the bills. How does that happen? Believe me, if you have 1,000 followers who are like actual real people who believe in what you do, you can make a full-time living. And you don't have to live in Bali to achieve that. Like I lived in London when I quit my job. So it is possible to make a decent living of 1,000 fans. So the biggest issue people have sometimes is with conversion. So they have all these followers, but the followers don't look up to them as an authority, or they're not selling to them enough. They are afraid to ask for the sale. They're afraid to get on the call. So the convert part is where you have to learn how to act like a leader and be a leader in a way that positions you as an expert. And by positions you as an expert, I don't mean, oh, you talk about your knowledge. It's about communicating boundaries as to who you are so that people can value your time enough to pay for it. Example, Gary Vee. How much did this man get paid to speak? $200,000 per gig. Have you ever seen Gary Vee walking off stage and the event organizer goes, oh, Gary, thank you so much for speaking at our event. Thank you so much. We so appreciate your time. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy just got paid $200,000. Shouldn't he be saying, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to make $200,000? No. Do you know why? Because Gary Vee knows that he's worth it. And that is an attitude that a lot of people are scared to portray because to them, it's arrogant. It's not, to some people, it's even not kind. Oh, you know, this is too mean. This is too arrogant, blah, blah, blah. And what I encourage my people is not to be arrogant or like to think of themselves as bigger than other people, but to not be afraid to communicate how much they actually are the big deal and to show that with their actions. It's about when you go on live stream, you don't say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have five people on here. Like that itself takes your credibility away straight away. The key is to get on live stream and to own the room. And you own the room in a way so that the viewers feel grateful that you're providing information to them. Can you see the difference?
Yeah. And I guess the thing is as well, is that five people is five people, isn't it? When you're first starting out, then five people coming to listen to what you've got to say, you know, that's good, isn't it? But a lot of people get discouraged by that. But if you keep going, that five will become 25 and then will become 250 or whatever. But unless you can own it with those five people, then you're not going to be able to build that audience.
Yes. And it's about exactly positioning yourself as somebody that they should listen to, somebody that knows what they're talking about, so that when you offer your products and services, they're ready to invest. They're ready to invest because they can see that you are the real deal. Otherwise, you're not necessarily competing with other experts. What you are competing with is where they spend their money. You're competing with their mortgage. Do I pay £10,000 off my mortgage this month, or do I pay £10,000 to Janet to help me with my PR? That's who we're competing with. We're not competing with other experts in our area. We're competing with, are we able to communicate the value that the customer gets from what we offer?
And we were just talking about a real example about this before, weren't we? Because just to kind of put this into context, so what happened this morning was I messaged Katia to say, I've got a question about live streaming that I've been pondering for a while. And we ended up doing this interview. It was kind of spur of the moment. It was on my mind that I needed to cover live streaming again. But basically I said to her, I'm doing more live streaming and I'm doing a weekly live stream to go with my podcast that comes out on a Tuesday. It's a great way to kind of, you know, remind people that the podcast is there, but also give people an opportunity to ask questions. But I've got a question, Katia. If I'm doing more live streams, does that mean that people will become almost desensitized to my message and they'll think, well, I can jump on a live stream with Janet whenever I want, so I can ask her any questions I want. I don't need to worry about joining her program because I know she'll always be there and she'll pop up on a Tuesday. And Katia says something to me that actually I think I'd kind of lost sight of. And she said, well, as long as you're providing value, but you're also making it really clear that if people participate in your paid programs, they're going to get more value and they're going to get more of you, and you're going to be able to give them, you might answer a question on a live stream, but that's not the same as being part of your program where they will get, you know, individual attention from you, or they will get, you know, individual feedback or whatever it is that you offer. And so when I went on my live stream today after we talked by Facebook Messenger, I said to my assistant, make sure that we've got the registration page for my studio, for my membership, because I haven't been mentioning it to people and I really should be saying to people, actually, you know, if you're finding this really useful, then you can come and join my program and you can get more support with this and you can get my help with this every single day, not just, you know, on the days that you happen to be on the live stream. But I needed to, you know, I think I'm pretty good at marketing myself, but I think there was something with video where I felt a bit like, you know, if people hear from me too much, does that mean that they'll almost kind of miss my message? And I guess probably what I'm saying is probably something that people say to you all the time, is it?
It's a very clear, very unclear barrier between teaching and actually just doing live stream. You know, what's the purpose of a live stream? It's not to teach. It's not to give out all your secrets. And I know a lot of people say, oh, give all your best stuff for free and et cetera, et cetera. But I don't give all my best stuff for free to people because I want my paid clients to know that what I give them and the stuff I tell them first. I want my paid clients to know that they are the special ones. Mm. And that's why I use the example of, I tend to give a lot of the what and some of the how on my live streams. But as I told you, I just say, look, I can only help everybody in a half an hour. I mean, a very simple question for you that you can ask them and say, hey guys, do you think I can give you everything I know about PR in 1 hour? No. It's physically impossible to give you everything I know in 1 hour. I can just touch upon things that you should know. But truly, my Soulful PR Studio or my coaching with me, my high-level coaching or my Done With You services, that is exactly where I will give you everything I know because we will have the time to do it. So that's how I position it. And I just say on live streams, I'm here to provide you with as much value as I can. But at the end of the day, your business is unique to you. And sometimes my generic advice will work for you. Sometimes it won't. Whenever it doesn't, it's time to get something more personalized. It's time to try some of the programs that have a system. And that's why information really is worthless unless it's structured in a really good system. And people don't buy information. People don't buy PR tips. They don't buy live stream tips. They buy transformation. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. People ask me sometimes when I'm doing a launch, they'll say, can I get all this information on your website or your... I said, well, actually, probably you could if you spent hours trawling around my website and my podcast and my book and whatever. But actually, if you want somebody to help you go through the pieces in the right order and in a way that kind of makes sense and is logical progression, then that's where you want to sign up for my program. And if you want my feedback and you want my time and you want me to help you tweak your pitch or whatever, that's the difference, really, isn't it?
It is. Exactly like you said. So don't be afraid to communicate the difference between your paid versus your free content. I say this all the time because everything like the ACE formula that I just give you right now, I have a whole course on it that I sell as a DIY product. And a lot of people will be like, well, you teach this ACE formula everywhere, even on podcasts. Why would people buy it? And I'm like, I'm teaching what the formula is. But are people being accountable to it if they don't join my program? Not really. Am I being able to give them personalized support throughout doing this, using the formula? Not really, unless they join the program. So people don't join the program because they want new information about my ACE formula. They join the ACE program because they want to go in more depth. They believe in the formula and they want to go and implement it. So they really pay for the implementation and for my brain as they're implementing, as opposed to for the actual formula. Give the formula away.
Okay. And a quick question on that. The last question really on the convert part of it. I mean, I know some people do sell literally on live streams. And I know that, you know, you can sell courses, you can sell products, whatever it might be that you're selling. But it feels to me, and I know certainly when I've done live streams, that it's almost part of a system for me. So when I'm doing a launch or something like that, my live streams will be part of a bigger strategy. And I wouldn't just do a one-off live stream and expect to sort of sell out my course or whatever. I'm sure there are people who do that. But you need some kind of sales funnel, and it needs to be kind of, you know, part of a thought out sales funnel where you're leading people somewhere. So if you're on a live stream, you're giving them a call to action to go to a landing page or to sign up for your email list or something. It feels like it needs to be part of some kind of strategy.
If that is ideal, if you have a like something to sell already, a landing page or whatever. But actually, you don't have to have any of that, because the one thing that you really need to sell is to, if you don't have any website or any products ready or any of that, is to just jump on a phone call with people.
Okay.
So if you have Acuity scheduling, that's all you need, or a Calendly or whatever you use. All you do is you go on live stream and you pitch a free call.
Okay.
You pitch a free discovery call at the end that people jump on. And then on the call, you can sell them whatever you want, whether it's your one-on-one. And for one-on-one coaching, you don't really need a sales page to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be on the phone call and offer it.
But basically, you have to, whatever live stream you're doing, you have to be leading people somewhere, whether it's part of a sales funnel, whether you want to, you need to know what your outcome is, what you want people to do next.
Of course, you have to know, okay, my outcome is I want to get 10 people on a phone call.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm going to do that many live stream and put the link in the description and I'm going to offer that. My favorite one is, I personally really like to send people to a few things. When they're in my group, I have a Facebook group called Livestream Marketing for Entrepreneurs, where anytime somebody posts a question on live stream, I literally have a product that answers their question. Every time they post a question, I would answer their question in a generic way. And then I would say, if you want more in depth, go grab this. Go grab my live video checklist. It's only $27. Like, you literally can't go wrong with it. And then I tell them, like, let's say a pure example is, they would come in my group and they would say, I really freeze on live streams. Sometimes I don't know what to say, or I forget my call to action, or I go on and I don't know what to start. I don't know when to introduce myself, when to offer the product. And I say, great, I have the perfect solution for you in a $27 live video checklist. You literally go download this. You print it off and you stick it on your computer. It's going to be your best friend. It's going to help you be, you see what I do? Like, I literally give them solution with a product.
And what's your conversion rate like on that? I mean, it's not something that I've generally done. I mean, if people are asking about it, I would say, oh, I've got a course or something coming up. But what's your conversion rate like with that sort of thing?
It's not massive, but you get anywhere between 1% to 5% conversion, which to me, it's great. I mean, I've not done any ads on the checklist yet. I've only run like 50 pounds of test ads on the checklist. And I've already sold like 100 checklists. And that is just from like my group or literally just from people who have a question and I tell them, go get this. And that is just an example of how you can give value. Because obviously you don't want to, if someone just joined your group, you don't want to pitch them $1,000 product off the cut, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's something under 100, most people, most real business owners who, if you give them a suggestion of a product that will fix an immediate problem, they will spend the money. And if it's under $100, or £100, it is a low risk thing for them that they have really nothing to lose. Like $27 is not really going to make a difference to their business, but the checklist may do a massive difference to the way they present themselves, therefore to the sales of their videos.
Yeah, no, it's just making me think, for example, I've got a press release writing course that it's a freebie, but actually people, if they want it all in one go, they can buy it. I think it's $19.99. I think that's the actual price. And yeah. That's something I haven't offered it before on a live stream, but it's something potentially I could offer. And I'm sure if you're listening, you may well have products or services that are kind of like a fairly, it's almost like a tripwire type product, isn't
yes.
it? Kind of like a,
yes.
You know, when you can get, it's like with my book, actually. I think my book is often the first product that people buy. It's about £10, £12. And then, you know, they'll read that and then they'll see what they think. And then they may well decide that they want to do a program or a course or something like that. But yeah, it's something to think about. It's something I haven't done before, actually.
And definitely try it. Next time you go live, I challenge you.
Okay.
I challenge you next time, whether you go live or somebody just posts a question, I challenge you to respond with a good answer, like a detailed answer. And then to say, based on what you told me, I really believe that this particular, whether it's product or program, will be extremely invaluable and will give you even more nuggets.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been thinking I should create, just talking off the cuff. I'm doing a series of podcast episodes, and some of you may have listened to them already, on how to get more engagement on your Facebook page, in your Facebook group, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. Now, I'm not a social media expert at all, but one thing I am good at is getting people to engage with me on social media. Something that I'm good at. And I have been thinking to myself, because I've done a couple of really good Facebook Lives where I've given people some really good value, and I'm thinking, actually, you know, I could probably, just as you're talking, I could probably create a low-cost checklist or an ebook or something like that that I could actually kind of put together all of the things that I'm sharing already, but put it in a kind of coherent, easy to follow step-by-step guide or something like that. Maybe that's what I should do for my challenge. Maybe I should have a soulful bit. Basically, it's kind of like a social media kind of engagement strategy or something like that. You know, there's about sort of 8 or 10 things that I do pretty much consistently across all platforms, and they work. And, you know, I've had people feeding back to me in my group saying, oh, my God, I did this thing and it really worked. And if I was to put that together in a kind of a bit like your checklist, I guess, that could be a product. Yeah, I might follow you up on that challenge, actually.
Yeah, that you always send people to. Yeah, it could be called Janet Murray's Playbook of Social Media Engagement on steroids.
Oh, my God.
Booster.
I think I'm going to call my designer as soon as we get off this call.
Your playbook, and you market it as I'm pulling the curtains of my 8 habits that I do every single day that lead to me running this business. And I think that would be like the easiest thing to sell to people who have a question that is answered by that.
Oh my God, that's so true. I'm totally going to do it. And if you're listening to this episode, watch out for the social media playbook, because it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming out soon.
Here's a challenge for everybody.
In fact, you know, I might even make it. Everyone always jokes about the fact that if somebody has an idea, I might even have it made by the time this episode goes out. How about that? That could be quite good.
If everybody hasn't been bored by now and is still stuck with us, well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, tweet at Livestream Katya and at Jan_Murray on Twitter and tell us if you would buy this.
Yes, no, that would be really good. Yeah, if you could let us know if you would buy my social media playbook as to how I get people to engage with me on social media, because, yeah, I'm not an expert, but that is probably the bit that I'm good at. Even if I don't know that Facebook Lives have a split screen, I'm good at getting people to talk to me on social media. Okay, right. So we need to get onto the last part of the puzzle, don't we? So in your ACE formula.
I'll keep it short. The last piece is really to expand what we've already built on. So remember, we've built the audience, then we started nurturing and converting them. And now it's just time to expand that reach so that we can multiply the effect. The first 1,000 are really the hardest. Once you get 1,000, the expansion is easy. And it happens a few different ways. Number one, through repurposing what you already have. So I teach people my repurposing formula, which pretty much consists of doing live streams, then retaking the content of the live stream into a condensed 5-minute video version for YouTube, and then sending that to your VA or doing it yourself if you have the time of actually creating Instagram quotes from it, creating blog posts from it, creating Twitter posts from it, and, you know, creating infographics if it makes sense. And that's how you appear to be everywhere. The key difference between the first two parts of the formula and the last, the first two, you're really focused on one place, one community, and, you know, doing one thing, building the movement, then converting. So it's a very focused, the first two parts of the formula are really focused. The expand part is really broad, and your goal there is to be omnipresent and to literally appear. Your job is to make your clients feel like you're everywhere. And the way to do that is by appearing everywhere they hang out. So appear on people's podcasts, appear on Facebook groups that your people hang in, appear at events, at summits, wherever that your ideal clients are hanging. You just want to be there so that they can constantly see your face, which then makes them think of you. So the expanding is really about repurposing. Then it's also about, once you've built 1,000 followers, you have leverage. It's time to reach out to some other influencers who have also built a community of 1,000 followers or more and see if you can work together. Find somebody who is in a similar niche. They can be doing the exact same thing as you do, or they can be doing completely different but serving the audience. And reach out to them and do some interviews together. I've started doing a lot of interviews on my Facebook page because I get so much traction on there. I can bring people viewers and I can bring them traffic to, if they want to grow their Facebook pages or Facebook group, getting them on my page brings them traction. So it's a good deal for them, but it's also a good deal for me because when they share my video, let's say if I was to interview you on my page, Janet, which I would love to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Every time you share my video, I'm sure you know this, every time you share my video to your group or to your page or to your personal profile, any viewer that you bring me, I can retarget later with ads. I can retarget those people who saw a glimpse of me because of you. Mm-hmm. I can retarget them with more of my ads and get them into my ecosystem.
Yeah.
Which is why the repurposing and the JV collaborations make so much sense. Remember, it's all about collaborations anyway. And really, the expanding part is about starting to use Facebook ads and starting to use influencers and sometimes even paying for influencers. I'm telling you, buying paid shout outs is not a bad business because right now, influencer marketing and paid shout outs are still very undervalued. And you can get pretty much similar results with paid shoutouts that you can get with Facebook ads, for example, or Google ads. So the expanding version is really about expanding on what you've already built and making sure you continuously grow. The biggest hurdle people get to is not building the first 1,000. They give up. That is honestly the hardest bit. The hardest bit is to build the first 1,000. And if you can survive until the end of that 1,000, you will thrive. One example I'd like to share is a good friend of mine, Arnie Giske, who he owns a community called Millennial Entrepreneur Community, and he has over 30,000 members. He built that community in 14 months, Janet.
Wow.
And guess how long it took him to build the first 1,000? 6 months.
Right, okay.
6 months to 1,000. Then 8 months from 1,000 to 30,000.
Yeah.
If he gave up at that 500 mark,
yeah,
where would he be now? Where would he be today? Not where he is.
Wow.
So if you can find a way to stick and to be okay with taking 6 months to a year for the first 1,000, because let's be honest, are you in business for the long haul? what's 6 months in comparison to the rest of your life? That's how I see it. I'm a big fan. Gary Vee says this all the time. What's a year as a percentage from the rest of your life?
So true. Right. Well, that seems like a really poignant note to for us to finish on. I just love this chat. It was a bit impromptu, wasn't it? But often it's the most impromptu chats that turn out to be the best. And we've talked about live streaming. We've talked about it more kind of strategically, really. If you want any of the kind of nuts and bolts about actually how to get started and how to get over your nerves and that kind of thing, we cover a lot more of that kind of stuff in episode 103. So do go back and have a listen. But I think what you've shared here is more about, it feels more like we've talked about the mindset around it and the kind of building your business. Because for me, it's like the, I don't know, you can work out the tools, can't you? You can work out how to use stuff. You can get advice. You can find out that actually you can do a split screen on Facebook Live. But actually, the bit for me, I was talking to somebody about this morning, actually, that makes the difference is it's your mindset, isn't it? It's the fact that you're not going to give up after 500, that you're going to stick at it, that you're going to be consistent and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's kind of what we covered. So we'd both love it if you could tell us what you thought of this episode, and watch out for my social media playbook because it's definitely coming.
Yes.
So where can we find you, Katia, if we want to find more about you?
The best place on social media, I am everywhere, live stream Katia, which is LiveStreamKatya. I love when people tweet me. Please, my Twitter, unless somebody tweets me, I don't get much Twitter love. So give me some Twitter love.
And tweet you after this call.
Exactly. And that's, I'm like that on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. I have a Facebook group where I pretty much hang out every day called Live Stream Marketing for Entrepreneurs. And then if you really want to dive into live streaming in terms of being consistent with it, just go to livevideoplanner.com, which is my most downloaded freebie that helps you not only create live video content, but also create the right content that attracts those people that are right for your movement. Remember, we talked about bringing the right people in, and I truly believe that it's the best freebie that does that for you. And please say hi. I always want to know where people come from. So let me know if you came from Janet. And Janet, I would love to have you on my part as well. And then have you, my people, come tell you and say, I come from Katia, Janet.
No, that would be fantastic. Well, thanks so much. You've shared so much value and I've really enjoyed it. So
I so appreciate a last minute invite as well. Thank you for having me. And I love what you do. And keep encouraging and inspiring women to be bold and to take action and not make excuses.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.